This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Kia ora, welcome to Free Left Turn, a left-wing perspective on Free FM 89.0, independent community media. Good morning, Fred.
Power to the people.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Power to the people, right?
Yeah.
Glorious weather, eh?
Yeah, for this week. I've been loving it.
I don't think I've heard Mick moan all week.
No, it's been lovely. I haven't had a brandish an umbrella. Put the old sunnies on, put the hat on,
I've been trying to paint a little roof on my little outhouse thingy, and it's been, you know, normally I'd say, lovely weather, but it's hot, too hot, so I've been doing it sort of last thing at night.
Well, this sort of weather, paint would be dry before you get onto the steel.
On your paintbrush. So, lovely to have a nice week. Certainly helps lift the mood, etc.
I don't know, as I came to the street, people didn't even know. Oh, good morning. It's all full of bonhomie and
Wow. Well, and let's face it, usually the first day we didn't get any wind, I just about fell on my face because I was so used to leaning into it, you know? So it was great. But, no doubt there'll be some will be getting all concerned about too much fine weather. Long may it continue for a while,
Kind of got that dry feeling about it.
Well, it can do. It can just disappear the rain from now on. And of course, because I volunteer with a bit of tree planting and that, you always hope we get some rain as it goes through into the summer for the first year stuff. Anyway, but yeah.
Plants will be warm work in this sort of weather.
Oh, it's too late. You stop now. Yeah. You don't have to stop. You can actually, someone asked me the other day, you can plant a native tree in the middle of summer if you want to, as long as you can irrigate. Put water to it.
This week was fireworks week.
I've got some good news. Was it the fireworks because of Mamdani winning or Nancy Pelosi retiring or a combination of the two?
Or celebrating
the burning of a parliament.
Yeah, celebrating Elizabethan.
It failed anyway.
Jacobite.
Yeah.
Terrorist.
It was terrorism.
Oh, did you mention the word terrorist, Mick?
Of course it was.
Yeah.
They wanted to blow the parliament up, didn't they? But I like your positive there, Fred.
Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi going.
Well, let's face it, I think she's 86 or 84 or something. And, you know, she's been an American politician. I haven't particularly enjoyed her, following her. I thought she was, apart from lots of things she's done, what I thought was disgusted me, that in the height of tensions between China and Taiwan, what did she do? She took an American flag over there in her title as... Was she Speaker of the House, etc., to stand with Taiwan and wave the American flag? And I thought, you know, she had, and it was just that American is number one ism. So, it upset a lot of people. And and she didn't really have permission. She just went, you know. A professional politician did very well out of it. Financially, I believe, but far too old. You know, they should have. Surely, they should have term limits on it.
Well, you do, don't you? When you retire.
Well, when you retire from a job, you just, well, no, we don't. I suppose we don't have term limits, but there comes a time. Surely there's 34-year-olds from New York who could take over her job.
Yeah, but these people have been around like for so long they can't let go.
And that, yeah, good point, Mick. And I think you're right. I know you're right. I think it's like rugby professional
public,
sports
public
players.
Kudos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All the trappings, all the attention.
And they've got plenty of money. They've got plenty of Wayne Brown, the mayor of Auckland's another one. You know, he's getting his pension. He's wealthy. So what'll he stand against him? Even if he's good, let other people do it. Go and do something for charity. Go and pick up rubbish in South Auckland if you wanted to make Auckland better. Go and do something else. But no, they stand and they get voted in. I don't know who's worse, the ones standing because they're 80 years of age or the ones voting for 80-year-olds.
Yeah.
And it's not to mean that 80-year-olds and us, we're all getting older, that we don't have things to contribute.
But sometimes you can say, let someone else have a turn at the... There's some state this week in Africa... They just elected the oldest head of state, 92 years old, this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Not Guinea?
Is it, I'm just trying to say, Guinea or...
Is it a tribal title though, as well? Is he the chief?
I'm just trying to remember the name of the state, damn it. He's the oldest head of state in the world. He's been in power for 45 years or something.
And I can understand, let's face it.
And they had the inauguration... What was he saying? He was mumbling.
Mumbling, yeah. And I can understand it if you're the chief. Like, if you're the king, etc., and you've just got a lifetime title that you stay on.
That you still have a mental acuity to go with.
Yeah, but, okay, you are. Yeah. That's how it works. That's how it always works. But when you're elected, I say, is the shame on the person still standing or is the shame on the people voting them for
a bit
them?
Of both, I think.
And let's say, America's full of it. You've got Chuck Schumer, Elizabeth Warren, which, she's, in my view, one of the better Democratic establishment.
Bernie Sanders
the same. But make way for some younger ones.
I found his name.
Right.
Paul Biya from Cameroon.
And he's a king or a prime minister?
He's a president.
Yeah, okay.
He's been in power
since 1982.
But is he also the chief of the main tribe? I wouldn't be surprised.
Couldn't answer that question.
No, but again, they will probably vote an ethnic line.
On a tribal, yeah, could well do. Yeah. So, okay,
he's followed by Mahmoud Abbas.
So, yeah,
right, he's the oldest one anyway.
Yeah. Pelosi's gone, and it should have gone earlier. But okay, she's finally seen the light in retiring. But then they're talking about there's talk that her daughter's going to stand or her husband's daughter's going to stand. This is this dynasty stuff, a sense of entitlement sort of stuff going on.
She's not
going
to promote a library somewhere like everyone else.
Well, they probably do. You know, they do actually. Altruism's quite big in America amongst the wealthy classes. But they want their name on it or anything else. And they don't pay much tax while they're doing all that. Mm. Oh, surprise, surprise, it can happen here.
Interesting.
But actually, the other big news that we should talk about is Mamdani.
Yeah.
Zoran Mamdani. Despite all the money thrown at him, etc., and they threw a lot of money.
And the vitriol, because his opponents didn't offer any alternative to what Mamdani was offering. It's just attack.
Well, they just said he was a Muslim.
Anti-Semitic.
He got a photo with someone who was a imam around 9/11. At 9/11, Muslims in New York, in America, probably in the world, we're getting an awful time by the actions of a few. So they threw everything at him, and it was quite interesting. He won 50.4% of the vote,
right?
And the most votes they've had since the 1960s. So it did actually garnish some enthusiasm, and so. And how did he do it? Basically, they knocked on doors.
Mm.
They got round the money against them by just knocking on doors. So they got a lot of people voting who normally wouldn't, who'd say, not doing it.
Yep.
And the place that always votes, Staten Island, which is white and Jewish and wealthy, they voted, they still were only voting, I think he only got 30% of the vote. It was still very much chemo and Sliwa, the Republican. But the rest of it, very cosmopolitan. He won all the other four boroughs. So credit to him. And I listened to his speech, and his speech was quite defiant, saying, you know, you're throwing what you can at me, but I'm still standing, and this is how we're going to do things from now on. But what worries me is at the same time is there was other elections going on, one in New Jersey for governor and one in California. And
Virginia.
And they were all Democrats sweep the floor for these different positions, et cetera. There weren't too many, but they swept the floor. And the tie-in already has been about the Democrats. Well, Mamdani has been to the left of the Democrats. Although he was the Democrat nominee, the rest you'd put them in that Democratic establishment.
He's a social Democrat.
Yeah, Democratic socialist. Which is, to a lot of Americans, that's like, oh, you're socialism and communism, so they don't understand the difference. No. But that would be how we'd describe it. It's just a decent Labour Party, a Green Party, a Scandinavian Party. They would just say, well, we need public services, we need welfare, we need things that help the ordinary people. But, of course, in America, they try to use the scaremongering. And, Cuomo still got 40% of the, so he's still got a lot of votes.
Yeah, they blamed his failure on that one person, wasn't it, one of the candidates? I forget his name.
Oh, Sliwa, the Republican who wears the red beret and still in the 1970s wanted to kill commies. I think
there was a YouTube. It was a brief one, and there was some must be some Democrat Republican doing his nuts.
And they wanted him to stand down, Sliwa, and he said, "No, I'm standing. I'm a Republican. I'm standing." With credit to him, he's standing for what he believes, etc. He wasn't going to play ball. But what is interesting, even with Cuomo's votes and Sliwa's votes, Sliwa, can't happen how you pronounce it, even their votes together wouldn't have beaten Mamdani.
Mm-hmm. No.
So he got a convincing win. So we'll see what happens, because the battle's just started, and we were talking about before we came on here, it won't be just the Republicans and the billionaires and the wannabe billionaires and the Zionist group, to be fair. They've been also behind this, trying to stop Mamdani winning, of course, because he's a Muslim and he's been to a few pro-Palestinian protests, etc. But to me, the real threat to him will be a bit like what happened to Jeremy Corbyn. It will be Democratic establishment.
Yep.
I think it's the enemy within. And what you said before, Craig, about...
Yeah, keeping your friends close and your enemies closer.
So good on him. A real credit to him. A 34-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
He must be exhausted.
Mm.
But New York's got, what did we decide? 2 million voters, so it's probably got 5 or 6 million people at least, I suppose.
I think it's more than that.
Yeah, I don't know what the percentage is of eligible voters.
Mm.
And it still will probably be quite low, to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
But a credit to him, and he kept on message. And he made it about affordability.
Yeah.
So he didn't get caught up, although it was...
He didn't exchange blows with Cuomo. Fitzroy, he just stuck to his issues.
And to me, the most famous thing that probably, for me, inspired me about him, and it was about when they asked all the mayoral candidates in a TV debate about which country would you visit first, and they all apart from Mamdani, all said they were going to Israel. They all just fell over themselves, and he said... I'm staying in New York, and I'll go and visit the Jewish people in their synagogues and where they want to meet me. I don't need to go to Israel, and that was a big one. And America, even the American public, like that. They said, "You are the New York mayor. You're not the mayor of Israel." Credit. So that was a victory potentially for the left, and not just in America. If he can sustain the pressure from the Democratic establishment as well as the others, and they can get some of these things through, like free public transport, better childcare, cheaper, affordable childcare, affordable rents, etc. If he can get some of that through, That'll be shockwaves around for America and the world.
It'll be a hard job because you said they confuse socialism with communism.
Oh, yeah.
I think I heard one say, this is un-American.
Yeah.
What Mandani was proposing.
Yeah.
What planet are you on?
Well, and the squeal from the right and from the Zionists was they're all going to leave and go to Florida or back to... And someone said, well, just go to Florida or go to Israel.
Yeah, go.
go, goodbye. You know?
Yeah. Don't come back.
So that's the two things. That was my two bits of good news.
The Pelosi one's a good one.
Yeah, she can stick to eating ice creams. Hopefully she gives some away to the poor.
Yeah. I think she should be followed by Chuck Schumer.
Lindsey Graham.
Lindsey Graham, yeah.
Dorothy. And Bernie and all that. Like, I like Bernie and all that, but, his message, there's younger people can carry forward his message. Because the message, it's not actually about the... I have socialist principles that we care for others. So that message, you don't have to be the person. That's just a what do you call it? A unilateral message about...
You pass the baton on to
the... It doesn't have to be about an individual person. They might be good at selling the message, but there are others who can sell the same message. Yeah.
You can step back and become a mentor.
And if you don't give these young ones a chance to get through, you block them and block them.
They're going
to
get frustrated.
Yeah, and then you have this big gap between 86-year-olds. Look at the difference. Pelosi's 84 or 86, or what Trump's saying is 80s, Mamdani's 34.
Yeah.
That's, 46 years. That's nearly two generations, isn't it?
But didn't we have a senator or whatever, she died.
She had
Alzheimer's.
Yeah, and she was a Democrat too.
Sometimes she might remember to turn up at the house. Yeah. She kept voted in time and time again, but she was completely...
And so the shame is on who? Fool me once.
The people who kept pushing her in.
Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice. Yeah. No, was it? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
But that's not the only place within politics where they have aged... politicians.
Oh, we've got one here.
No, I'm not talking about here.
Winnie the Pooh.
The US Supreme Court can also have that problem.
Oh, they have for life. Makes me nervous that I like the fact they have terms, and they can be manipulated, but at least you should. There's terms, right? You can be president for a couple of years, but then you've got to flag it. Unless you're the Russian president, then you stand down for a little while and then go back in.
He's trying to buck against the convention.
Where he says he is, but I don't think I think.
Do you think he's really serious?
No. I think he'll just he'll say he's done it all his way. He'll get the Nobel Peace Prize.
Because he's another person who loves the limelight.
He's a narcissist.
Well,
so I can't see him retiring gracefully to Mar-a-Lago and playing golf. Want to be in the attention of everyone. Regardless.
The Americans call it American exceptionalism. We would call it narcissistic up yourself, Tonga. But that's how they see it. When they come out of this, it's just what we do. We're American,
Americans,
And we find it makes us cringe.
Yeah.
Many of us cringe. Maybe the young ones see it differently. But, But I know Trump... he's got a lot of his tariffs through. He's got lots of people, including our PM, bending over. There was quite a good article, and it was in RT, and it was written by someone. I'm just saying, all that Trump really had done is America used to do what it's doing, but it used to do it under the guise that it was sort of caring about the world and everything else. He's just ripped all that off and said, we'll just keep on the American bullying and the American exceptionalism and the American, what do you call it, hegemony, So he just doesn't hide behind all this sort of stuff, which is true.
He declared a covert war in Venezuela.
And possibly
activated a military base in Puerto Rico. Yeah. It was closed down 20 years ago. So he's got the biggest lethal, most lethal warship.
Oh, yeah.
General Ford carrier coming in with thousands of troops.
Yeah. And they'll, look, when a slate is full of oil and gold and minerals and what do you call it, heavy metals, et cetera, that they want. So, and okay, the country there is poor, you know, but, you know, all sorts of reasons, et cetera.
And well, it was oil rich at one time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then the oil crisis
crashed. And it's a heavy oil, so it's not a oil you can base. Some oils you can just about take out of the ground and put in your car. This is a heavy crude
so
that needs
to be refined.
Et cetera. But it's right next door to America. When as the world's resources
never
get less,
to them they could actually negotiate and trade with Venezuela rather than sending troops.
Oh no, we don't.
That's not
with
the American way, Mick. Come on, where have you been?
I know it's not the American way, but you think they would have woken up by now? It'd be a bit cheaper if just negotiate. Become negotiate because it's a commie.
Well, China does
claim to be a commie.
Does actually that? It just negotiates. Yeah. Oh, you've got this. We'll build you a port, but we want that mineral, or we want this.
Yeah,
we do it here. What do we want?
It's called trade.
It's called trade. It's called win. Oh, win-win.
Yeah.
But America is like, they don't
want
to do that.
We want it all and we'll screw you.
A few suitcases of money for the elites and you just do what you're told. Yeah.
Win, lose.
Yeah.
I wonder if Colombia is on that list to be invaded.
Yeah. Well, let's face it, they're having a go at Venezuela about the drug trade and all that.
Alleged.
But Venezuela, they've stated by authorities that Venezuela's not the biggest drug trader in Latin America by far. But Trump's used that as an excuse.
Peru is one of the big ones.
Yeah. And when we say Trump, don't forget, Trump is just, he's just the figurehead. There's plenty of others like that. There's lots of others.
What's the people behind him?
Yeah. Yeah, there's lots of Trumps out there.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible thought.
Sycophantic.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, only Venezuela's got a militia army.
They couldn't.
Yeah, they did talk about the size of the country.
It's something like 90,000 square miles. Imagine it more than that, because I've talked about this in Al Jazeera, the land mass of Venezuela is quite huge.
So to invade a country of that size...
That's what they won't invade. This article talked about that. America used to go, we'll invade and they'll lose a few troops.
They're going to have a military operation, aren't they?
Now they just bomb a few things and they hope there's regime change. And they stir up... And let's face it, if you've got lots of people who are poor, seen it with Farage, we see it with Winston Peters to a certain extent, they stir up the people when they're disaffected.
Right,
So it would probably, the thinking would be very probably easy for, say, we're off of Venezuela and something better under our mode.
Yeah. Better?
And
invariably it means worse.
Worse.
Well, it's the same.
Track record of America on that continent is appalling.
It's shocking.
The track record of right-wing regimes in what we call banana republics is bad news.
It's worse.
All brought about by, supported by
the US. Yeah, yeah. So if you, let's face it, my advice is, if you're a poor Venezuelan, you're probably going to be a poor Venezuelan under the new leader, which will happen to be the Nobel Peace Prize person. You'll still be probably poor, you know.
Yeah. I think you'd be worse than poor.
Yeah, you could be.
I think dirt would be. But why is
Venezuela doing so badly? It's actually a bit like Cuba. It's sanctions.
Yeah, sanctions.
If they were allowed to freely trade with America and give them oil, whatever, Cuba's the same, those countries would be doing a lot. But sure, they have socialist-type governments. Great.
So what?
Socialism is welfare. It's caring for your aged. It's educating the kids. It's providing medical facilities.
That's the opposite to what the US believe in.
Yes.
Well, so far. But they might change. That might change. There's certainly Americans are waking up. There's something wrong. They've taken a long time. Because they can't get over that exceptionalism. And we see it in the Democratic establishment. They still can't get over the big head tonga.
Yeah.
Upukunui tanga, I call it.
Yeah. But you see where they've employed sanctions, Cuba, Venezuela, Iraq,
Russia, Iran.
Anyone they don't like.
Yeah. They put those sanctions on, and that sanctions are the ones that are depriving the
ordinary citizens.
Yeah, the ordinary citizens. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a regime.
No.
Sanctions driven by the USA.
Yeah.
And friends.
And friends.
Yeah.
And we tend to be We get involved in that.
Yeah. We're part of a sycophantic crowd here.
Yeah, you know.
The rah-rah people.
Yeah. I've got one more.
Go for it.
And I want your opinion on this because I'm talking to a Tory friend, and I have a few.
Have you been contaminated?
I have a few relations and friends that are Tories. But it's interesting. And they were he was basically gloating about the implosion of the Māori Party. We're back to New Zealand, folks. We've done America for now, right?
Oh, it's interesting you brought it up.
And why I bring it up is that he was going, oh, yeah, the Māori, you know, Māori's are imploding, la, 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 it's good for us. And I said, oh, hang on a minute. I said, is it good for you? Because if the Māori Party does implode, Māori votes will go to Labour, but even more bigger than that, what will a lot of what I call, sadly, white Kiwis are nervous about the Māori Party. If the Māori Party disintegrates, they'll be more comfortable for voting Labour if they don't see the Māori Party as a what do you call it?
Political threat.
What do you call it when you're in government together?
Coalition.
A coalition. Yeah. If the Māori Party disappears or implodes, Labour has a free run at the title.
Yeah.
Because it's the Māori Party, which the Nats and the Act and New Zealand First would have really hammered that closer to the election. They wouldn't just have been about capital gains, it would have been about the Māoris are going to control you. So there may be a silver lining in all this for the Labour Party.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, it kind of ties in with this article that was appeared in Herald on Tuesday. Tamihere called for MPs to quit. Unhelpful, says Iwi Forum. He claims that some people are self-entitled.
And
the national body meeting with two party Māori factions. Okay, it gets back to the possibility of imploding.
And that's what I mean. I think that'll help the Labour Party, not.
What's his beef with some of these Te Pāti?
They don't like the co-leader style. Deem it to be dictatorial.
I don't know.
I got a beef about something.
Yeah, because I think it's on the front part of the page, it's something like the ones he's pointing at a bit self-entitled, not fitting in with what he thinks they should be presenting themselves.
Yeah, which is sad for those people who have followed the Party Māori. And hopefully, I don't know if we get resolved or not, but as I say, it in one way, Labour might well benefit from this.
Yeah,
because was it Mary Minow?
Many because let's face it, Māori people are just the same as us.
Yeah.
They will vote, see what's going on, and if they think Party Māori is a mess, regardless of fault,
they'll
cast their vote back with Labour.
Yeah.
I would think.
They've done it before.
They've done it before. Yeah. Party Māori under the... who was the...
Oh, Turi...
Dame Turiana.
Was that her?
Yeah, I think...
Turiana Turia.
It has unfortunately imploded before, and there's people taking joy in that, but it might just bite them on the bottom, the Tories, if they get too happy about it, because it gives Labour a bit more of a clear run, to fight the capital gains issue.
Which means we need to rely on the Greens to try and keep them honest.
Well, yeah.
Some of those Maori votes will probably go to the Greens too, so... Potentially they could.
Because we've got less than a year now before...
It's getting closer, Elections next year, are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because MP, they did a survey, went around these people in up north and talked to them about what their feelings on this issue was. And all the people they spoke to were, they favoured their local MP, Kabakingi.
Well, and let's face it, in places like the North and all that, there's still very much a lot of connectivity. So they wouldn't, if they know the person from that area or that town, and often still they do because they still know them through tangi or kinship, etc.
That connectivity, you would think, would be a bonus because... And he wouldn't get less likely to get these factional divisions.
Yeah.
Because they all know each other, they're all connected.
Yeah, but in those areas, not necessarily if you're from Invercargill or from Wairarapa. Yeah.
But you would hope that.
Yeah. But it's quite hard to, as we all know, we've seen it with your party over in in the UK, it's quite hard to keep a party together.
Yeah, because some people either think the party's not moving hard enough, fast enough, and other people...
And Labour's always traditionally struggled with keeping everyone on the same, a broad church.
Absolute nightmare.
And we've seen that.
Yeah, time and time again.
Yeah, we've seen it with the pro-Palestine movement, keeping everyone focused on... Actually, it's about Palestine and Israel, not about other colonisation at present, you know, as the main drive, you know.
Not hard enough, not radical enough, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so... They're trying to resolve it, eh? Because the National Iwi's Chair Forum voted to request meetings with Te Pāti Māori to help resolve the issues.
Yeah.
Because
they need to get it sorted out.
Yeah, yeah.
Well before next year.
Well, I'd say it will hand it. Labour could well be the pick up the coins from it.
Yeah, well,
and they'll need to because let's face it, the Labour's got a big enough fight on their hands, persuading, trying to convince people that the capital gains tax is needed.
Mm. Yeah, we all know.
Wait till the mud will be flying later on.
Well, Nicola Willis is already, you know, whinging. All the big names have already had a whinge, but it's lost a bit of focus, which is great. I think this time, the previous time they talked about it, it stayed in the headlines for ages. Well, it sort of hasn't dropped off. There's a big article in the Herald today about it.
I guess the closer we get towards that date.
Oh, it'll rear its ugly head.
Yeah. In the form of Nicola.
Yeah, be careful voting those people because they want to take your house away.
Yeah, they always say it's about you, the one house owner. Yeah. It's not the 20 house owner.
The big boys.
Baden Barber, he's the forum spokesperson, is sort of kind of saying if reconciliation fails, which he fears is not the outcome most likely to benefit Maori communities, it could sort of. May establish another Maori party of some
splinter.
Form, and another Indigenous party of some form, which is probably not good
might be counterproductive though,
because it may destroy both.
Yeah.
Well, apart from
MMP,
and also don't forget, because a local MP, especially in the Maori world, will have a connection through kinship, etc. So there would be, they would have a split off MP could well carry the electorate through kinship
support,
rather than the name.
Mm.
And that means if you get an electorate, then if you get a smattering of votes from around the country, that still counts.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to get 5% or whatever.
Themselves forward as an independent or.
Yeah. So it could happen. It probably have far more chances than an independent in European world, New Zealand European.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
Interesting article, though.
Yeah. It had
complicated, though. Gee, I was trying to.
Well, it's sad because the Maori bashers have been out in full force.
They'd be gloating.
They're loving it. They're gloating.
They've been gloating. Because at this time, there's been this talk about the Treaty of Waitangi and the education. With the Maori Party in a kind of a dilemma around...
Mess.
yeah, be a better word. That would have been an ideal issue for them to jump on.
Yeah.
But they've been stymied by this infighting.
Yeah.
And the media love reporting the infighting. Let's face it. This is a lovely story.
It sells newsprint.
Well, and it also feeds into their sort of, we have
bigoted thinking, you mean?
Yeah. We saw what the results were of the, what do you call it, the Ward, Māori Ward's vote. There's still a lot of racism in New Zealand.
Yeah, we understand all that. Yeah, you watch the space. See if they can have some form of resolution, because it'd be a shame if the whole thing just...
Well, it has to be real too. It's like my late wife Cheryl used to say when I was always in trouble, but anyway, that's all right. And I'd say, oh, I'm sorry about that. And she said, do you actually mean it? When you say, sorry is easy, she said, you got to change your actions. So you change And I'd go,
after a while it just becomes another word.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. You can say, we're made up. But if you haven't sorted out the deeper issues...
It's meaningless.
Sorry, Cheryl, I have been trying to be better.
yeah. John Tamahiri, eh? He seems to be the person that seems to be the focus of all the angst.
Yeah, I've met him a couple of times. He was an MP for a little while.
He was a Labor.
But he's an administrator, basically. He does Waipiraeta Trust, or he was doing that, et cetera. You know, he's driven a lot of issues for Māori, and he's been in the headlines a few times, rightly and wrongly for things.
He's a brother of,
And one of his daughter is married to Waititi, is that right? So Rawiri Waititi. So that's fine. That's how you tend to often hook up with people that you know. You don't tend to meet a stranger, and it's through someone else, I suppose. Isn't it? How do you meet people? Is through a party you went with someone else.
That's what people do now on social media. Complete strangers, as they purport to be.
Okay. So watch the space on it. But they don't. They need to sort it quick, and because people do have a short memory, but it needs to be sorted. But it needs to be a real sort, not just a pretend.
Patch up job.
They keep poking it, you know, keep stirring it up, and
they do. They're good at that.
And you have the right as a media person, and it's like us when we discuss things. You have the right to ask hard questions. And they have that right, but where do you go from hard questions to let's just stir it up because it's a Māori thing,
or it's a left wing thing. You don't get the same kind of probing into right wing political parties. For example, the classic one that comes to mind is the Tim Yago issue. He was the person who was for a better word. I think he interfered with boys.
Was alleged. Right. Did he get convicted of it?
Yeah, I think he was, yeah.
Yeah, well, otherwise it's an alleged,
So they don't sort of probe that or that, what was that character who was involved with that religion? Hamish Campbell, was it right?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Don't forget, though, on some things the media have to be careful, especially about when you're talking about abuse and all that. They don't have the free hand as they do with some issues.
You get the impression that they do. Like we got the Mitch Skimming, the cop. They seem to really be going after that with Heather and Tong.
Did I read it right that he has pleaded guilty to something, or that? Well, he's been stood down, hasn't he? But they've resigned or whatever.
They've really gone after him. You've just got to be a bit more careful around these things.
Yeah, you do.
When you come to media.
Between
alleged and convicted. But
everyone is. You're innocent until proven.
Now it's trial by media.
But when it comes to politics, it seems to be the focus tends to be on anything left of centre as opposed to
does that come back to who owns the media?
That's where the bias comes from.
We go back to America, who controls all the
narrative?
The big media things, though, either, the wealthy individuals, and they steer the course of what they want to talk about. So they pretend it's look at CNN is news, and so is Fox News. Most of it's just promoting their own viewpoint. Little news comes out of it.
You need to be even-handed, eh? But you're not, and you get that bias.
Well, that's the danger. And if the bias is encouraged, that's the danger for the media and all of us. Unless you promote it. We're saying we have left-wing
views.
Social justice. I don't call them left-wing. I call it social justice
views.
I have a social justice bias thinking. So, but you've got to declare that, not pretend that you're down the road.
It comes back to how we introduce our show. Free left turn, left wing perspective.
Yeah.
In the story. As you say, you get the impression media Maori bashing again.
Yeah, that's what I wonder. It certainly hints. There's a hint of it. But I say, on the other hand, if you don't want people to bash you, don't do the sort of stuff, you know. If you don't want to be the Prince Andrew, don't do the don't do the naughty stuff as well.
You can't call him that anymore.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, yes.
Mr. Windsor.
Mr. Andrew Mountbatten Windsor.
The former prince.
He's been evicted, he's been evicted from his house, which he didn't pay rent for 2 decades.
Yeah.
And he's been relocated to Sandrim Palace.
Yeah.
And his wife's going to have to make her own arrangements, apparently.
Yeah, well, his ex-wife, eh?
Yeah.
They live in the same castle.
Apartments.
Yeah.
Could happen to a nicer bloke.
And they
want him over.
Well, let's face it. In the old day, and this, I imagine this sort of thing's gone on for the elite and the royalty for not just England, everyone, royalty in New Zealand, the whole lot.
Yeah.
But of course, they didn't have cell phones. They didn't, you know, we weren't as well connected.
Mm.
So you could go off to the officers' club or wherever we're talking about it in Kenya and do what you like. Because, you know, it might be a local gossip, but it didn't get all the way back to the Home Office.
As long as you were discreet.
Yeah.
And you didn't brass anybody off.
Yeah.
You could get away with murder.
Yeah, I would think so.
Literally, yeah.
What else you got, you guys?
Well, carrying on the theme of politicians, this caught my eye on Wednesday. I was seething when I read this. And for the benefit of the listeners, I'm looking at the full picture of our newly sworn in council.
You're going to swear at them now, are you?
and they're all grinning like Cheshire cats. And the headline reads, "Council's first item, pay."
Mm.
For whom?
After the inauguration in October, councillors will now start debating their own pay rates. This less than a week, or just over a week old, and the first thing on their agenda is their pay.
Oh, am I allowed to say something?
You can.
In their defence, I imagine since most of them all campaigned on cutting waste and not being extravagant, etc.
They will
all take pay cuts. They will say, I don't need as much. I don't need as much to drive to my beach house. Am I losing the plot?
Hamilton City Council will kick off the first official meeting of their 3-year term by discussing how much they will pay themselves.
Yeah. I suppose it's tradition, is it?
I imagine it's all perfectly legal.
But
it's just a bad call. Apparently, the one exception is McIndoe, because his salary is set by the Remuneration Authority without input from councils. So his salary jumps to $200,000 plus
perks.
But the other lot will have to fight over his $1.57 million.
How many councils are there?
15. Well, it's 14, you discount.
14 into 1.5.
Ooh.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of dosh.
Yeah, it is a lot, yeah. But, if you know, the bottom line is I don't mind...
And it's all perfectly legal.
Yeah, but as long as they do all the reading of the papers, they do what Louise Hutt used to do, they read all the papers that they're meant to read, and they do the work, and on the weekends, instead of being at the beach house, there's an event on in Hamilton, they make sure they go to that. They do their bit as councillors and earn their money.
Just according to the council's elected member remuneration and elected member support and allowance of policy, what a mouthful.
Yeah.
All councils start on a base of $96,000, with deputy mayor will be in line for $135,000. Chairperson, deputies of the council's 5 main committees will be paid extra, with chair people receiving $123,000 and deputies $114,000. In terms of tax, sick leave and holidays, councillors are deemed to be independent contractors and are not entitled to those benefits and must pay their own tax bill.
So that means you can drive your car, you can have your phone. If they don't get a council phone, they can claim.
The contract.
So we subsidise them as well.
This is what really galls me. McIndoe, I'm paraphrasing, he tries to justify this by saying, however, it's not a 9-to-5 role for some councillors because there are many after-hours commitments and community engagements and preparation for committee meetings, blah de blah de blah. But they knew that when they put themselves forward for public office.
So, okay, can I ask the question? How many stood for council? Yeah. Knowing that there's $100,000 in it a year. Am I allowed to ask that out loud?
You're so suspicious.
Yes.
No, sorry.
Well, I know they're altruistic and they do it. But as long as they do the, as I say, they do their, they, and some of them would do lots of work for their money, I'm sure.
There's also, I don't always agree, but it's the taxpayer union, in this case, says that Hamilton councils are paid well above the national average.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah, there's no accountability performance outside of elections, everything.
So, but I go back to it.
What sort of people get a job where they can walk in and with 1 week of start, I'm going to give myself
well,
a
it's probably right. tradition.
Unless you're the boss.
It's probably tradition that they set the rates at the start.
But it's just not a good look.
No, it's not a good look.
When they plead in that we've had to put, raise rates because of all thick times are tough.
And I go back to what I'm saying. The ones that have, who all said we've got to be, you know, cut out costs,
etc.,
did they put up saying we don't need as much? Because wouldn't they say, well, we've got to cut everyone else, the workers, and we've got to cut all these services. We actually need, well, why don't we all have a show council? The people we're going to lead by example.
Well, council workers aren't going to get a generous pay rise like these guys.
Yeah. So have any of them said that?
Well, other workers.
We don't know.
Part-time, piecemeal.
Yeah.
Essential services.
Yeah. But lead by example. Those exactly. of you who said you were, lead by example. If you didn't say it, you said, like some of them said, we need to spend the money on services, et cetera. Well, they're welcome to that because they never said they were going to cut their cloth.
Yeah.
They said we're going to provide services for the money. You know?
It's just disgusting.
All I could say to the taxpayers union comment is, we need to know what the average is.
Yeah.
Yeah, not just, and population.
It's a bit wide. Ambiguous.
Yeah, because it's basically, compared to what?
Do they actually say in there how many hours a week councillors are expected to do? Or just, it's just an open-ended job?
Yeah, well, they say it's not a 9-to-5 role. Yeah, I kind of agree with that.
But I remember, we've had Louise Hutt here on thing, and unfortunately she missed out. But Louise, was telling me there's so much reading to do. If you do your job right, you've got to read all the recommendations. Councils have to just decide and discuss what's recommended from the various policy heads and executives and all that. See, there's a lot of reading, you know.
And do all of them do that?
Well, I say that's what you get paid the money for, you know. Just eat the cucumber sandwiches. Do they discuss what they're having for lunch as well?
I just think it's pretty disgusting when people are told to expect austerity measures and...
You're not a good look. It's certainly not a good look.
I think that's kind of what happened with national elections too,
yeah.
Where the first thing on the agenda was...
Give them pay rise.
And they always say, well, it's not us, it's just tradition, we do
well,
it now.
It's not a good look anyway.
But they could change tradition and say, well, let's do...
They have got the option to say, well, thank you very much, but I don't need it.
Yeah, why don't we... Yeah, we want to have a 10% cutting of costs across council... Let's take 10% off our pool.
Lead by example.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're not. But that sounds to me that they won't.
Maybe they will.
It's just more.
Have they decided yet? Have they made the decision on how they're going to pay?
I haven't heard any more. I haven't seen it in the paper. Well, so they're still discussing it.
But. I live in hope.
It's This is what a taxpayer.
I've got a feeling I'm going to be shaking your hand and acknowledging.
This is from a taxpayer, a tax spewers union person.
Right.
It really says a lot about a council's priorities when their first meeting of the term is about setting their own pay packets.
Mm.
Yeah.
But I say, I've got a feeling it's something that comes up every 3 years. That's when they set it.
This is pretty routine.
Yeah.
This is pretty...
Yeah,
not a good look.
Then she goes on to say, ratepayers in Hamilton have just been hit with a 15.5% rates hike this year, the third highest in the country. But we've got to not forget that we're the third highest city.
We've just gone to 150,000.
Fourth. And over the last 3 years, rates have risen a staggering 41.5%.
Yeah.
So putting all those in the mix together, it doesn't paint a pretty picture.
But as I say, we have population, we need infrastructure, we need services. Can I do a little bit of a positive, a plug?
Yeah, do a plug.
Hillcrest Library is opening on Monday at the Gardens.
Oh, yeah, we did that.
Yeah, the new temporary site is opening up on Monday. So it's...
The tenth.
My daughter said they've been down there a week getting it ready, and so people are welcome to come down and check it out.
cutting it all out, eh?
Yeah, and it's the second gate. Well, there's the main car park and then there's another car parking.
Is that near where the bus stop? Because the bus stops at one car park and you've got to walk across to the camp, to the building.
It was where you went to Wintec there in one of your courses.
That was gate one.
Yeah, I think you go through gate two.
Straight down the deeps.
Yeah.
That's gate one, but gate two is where the bus stops and you walk across from the car park through to the buildings.
Yeah, there's a hump bridge where there's a troll. Yeah. There's a troll of the mayor and councillor. Oh, no, I mean.
Don't take a wrong turn.
Yeah, go and check it out. Yeah, folks, if you, you know, because I suppose, like anything, people, like we're talking about with other things, you get used to not going to a place because you've, you know, how long has the library been closed at Hillcrest? A couple of months?
We were talking about this yesterday. A couple of months.
Yeah, maybe 2 or 3 months. So people have got used to going to another one.
I go to town.
But go and check it out. And they won't have, you know, it's not like the old library, so they're,
But then you can always reserve books and they can always get them in.
Yeah, they've got the full services.
So they're not going to establish a full furnished library like Hillcrest because of logistics.
So well, they've had to borrow books and everything from other libraries.
Down to basics, you know, just a number of books. And you want them, order them, you know.
Yeah.
Because that guy goes around in a little truck.
They've sorted that out. And they still have the community groups. I think there's a kindy going in there on Monday. So, yeah, cool.
Interesting, because I know when they have a new councillors are voted in, they've got to be shown around some of the facilities that come under the council umbrella.
Oh, what do they call it? They have a
orientation
thing, so yeah. They go to the cemetery. Some should stay there. they get shown around to the Pukehi sewage. Whatever.
They should stay there.
They should stay there.
You do, you know.
They come around to facilities like where I work.
Hey, this is the conversation we should have after 3 years of being disappointed. Give them a chance. Give them a chance.
I'm just saying where they have to go and.
It's good that they do.
They should.
And they've all been appointed, but I'm still an advocate for this. And if I'm sure they'll all be listening since our rating's gone up, Bruce and Mel, if you're listening, that I'm sure that I still think that councillors should be allocated an area to be seen at. And like, if there's something going on in Hillcrest, opening the library, they're there. If there's something happening in Melville, and you're allocated, you're there.
Your local councillor because you've got an issue in that area.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they will be deemed to be invisible.
That's the trouble. And a lot of people voted for people like Jamie Strange just because they'd heard of his name.
Don't get me started.
I won't. Sorry, I just did that to just upset you, Mick.
His grin was the biggest on that photograph.
Well, it would be too. Yeah, 96 grand, and isn't he on something else as well?
Dear,
oh dear. But that's what people often. That's the reality. Why do famous or semi-famous people get elected? You know, you're John Kerr and you get elected. They know your name.
Regardless of you're any good, it's your name.
Of course,
name
it
recognition.
Is. We've had lots of Parker down in Christchurch. There was a mayor here. She was a TV personality. Not a mayor. She was on the council. Yeah. You don't blame them. They're using their profile.
Still leave you wondering the quality of the candidates.
Well, you don't know, of course. It's like, what can I do? Oh, that pays a little bit of money. Yeah.
Are you only interested in the money, or are you more interested in helping your fellow citizens?
Well, and that's what worries me. What are you going to do, and what were you doing before you got elected? For the community, not for yourself. We've bashed him enough. Good luck, councillors.
Yeah, you and I were talking about this yesterday, about Israel and Gaza. Still going on.
Yeah, it's still not
and
much.
And all the platitudes, and Trump has been interviewed. It's not a pending. It's not a pending truce. It is a truce.
Yeah,
he's got bored with it.
Yeah. Oh, cool. He doesn't stay fixated on.
And the killing's still going on, and now they're now entering winter.
Yeah,
they've got. The Israelis still won't allow them to send in medical supplies or even shelter.
They're letting it trickle through. They're not letting it through.
They're going to let winter kill them.
I say, go back to the why they've been told it's a we've been told it's a genocide. You try to reduce a population, to exterminate a population.
So now they're going to use push them away. Nature, cold temperatures.
But so what's to be afraid of Palestinian women in Gaza? You know, So how do you make a population eventually disappear?
Life is miserable.
Yeah, so they either leave or they don't have children or they
kill them,
but natural deaths. You know, for every year this has gone on, the ones who do live to an old age die.
There's high infant mortality rates.
Of course there is.
Because of winter and the elderly. And they're just saying, they're just in the trickle of...
And they'll be looking at trajectories of the population. It was there at 2.12. What's it now? 1.9? You know, because not just of killings, but of natural. Some of it's not. Even some of the old people would have probably lived longer if they'd been in a house with electricity and decent food. If you're old and frail, or
in the middle of winter, or the beginning of the winter,
you're in a tent with bad food, exhaustion, etc. Your chances of living to a ripe old age would diminish. We know that because in New Zealand with. You know, who dies earlier? The poor.
Yeah.
You know, in the world, you know. Yeah. So if you're suffering hardship, you're not tending to live as long as those of the privileged.
It's cutting your lifespan, isn't it?
Yeah.
Drastically.
Yeah. But it's just sad. It's sad that the world seems to have moved on a little bit from it.
Well, last week we were at the corner and they had that guy stopped off and yelled out, "You numbskulls, it's a peace.
It's over.
It's over.
I think he's a numbskull.
You know, going, what? Yeah. We didn't buy into it. Have a lovely day.
I just said shalom and let him go to it, you know. That usually makes him even angrier, you know.
You think that if he's watching this on the news, he would have added up that, there's supposed to be a peace, but people are still being...
They're still being occupied. They're still being starved.
They're not free.
They're
still being killed.
Biggest belief it that does. People still choose to think like that.
Yeah.
They're still recovering the hostages' bodies.
Yeah, so, but still, how many thousands of Palestinian prisoners
have been killed?
Who are still in Israeli jails on...
And how many of those bodies from the Palestinians have shown torture mark?
They said there's been quite a few.
Because let's face it, goes back to how you're treated.
Yeah.
And by, I think the Israelis haven't treated the prisoners in the jails very well. They know that.
The Palestinians have treated their hostages
as well as they could.
Well as they could.
Under the circumstances. Yeah.
Wasn't there a lawyer who was fired for revealing what was going on?
And this is a credit to her.
Yeah.
She was an Israeli major as a lawyer. Yeah,
she's been arrested and charged with...
Telling the truth, probably.
Well, and so she put it out there. This is what our uniform people, the people of the uniform of Israel, is doing this abuse.
This person has put us in a bad light. What?
As you're sodomising prisoners with rods, etc.
Not a good look. Yeah.
No.
When you get something like that, what do they call them? A particular name.
Yeah, but good on for doing it. But a brave thing to do because, but we'll see what happens. We'll see. But I think it is a bit better, but it's not going to end until there's either Palestinians find freedom and get a chance to be self-determined.
The word I was thinking was whistleblower.
And they were having riots about that whole rape and all that of Palestinian prisoners, but they weren't protesting about the raping. They were protesting about the arrest of some of those who allegedly did the rapes, and they were set free.
Good grief!
Yeah.
And this is a democracy and an organised society.
No,
it's a sick society.
Okay, we are out of here.
All right.
Yeah.
Go enjoy the sunshine.
Yeah, we will enjoy the sunshine. And you'll find Free Left Turn on Free Left Turn and Podcast, Facebook, and www.freefm.org.nz.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.